Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also known as Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And what we're doing most of these days is going through the scripture, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse, and that is exactly what we're going to begin again today. Today we're going to be looking at the writings of Paul the Apostle, and specifically 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians has a lot of good things to teach us, and especially all of us that have been called out of idolatry, living in the great land of the United States of America, having gone to public fool systems, having been indoctrinated and schooled in the ways of romance, in the ways of idolatry, and the idolatry of romance, the idolatry of the laws of men being superior to the laws of God, the idolatry of patriotism, putting the country and the nation of Mystery Babylon, or the second beast of Revelation, that is America, above the kingdom of heaven and above the laws of the kingdom of heaven. So 1 Corinthians is a fitting book for us to be jumping into today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now we're reading out of the Authorized King James Version, and that is a version that was changed from the original 1611 King James Version. And you'll hear people say the AV 1611, there's no such thing. The Authorized Version came about later when a scholar or a group of scholars decided to modernize the language, and they changed the original 1611 language, like they changed the name of the Messiah from Jesus to Jesus, pretty much Latinizing the name, becoming used to that, I guess, the Latin form of the name. And they made a lot of other changes too, and we'll highlight a few of these. If you're looking at your Authorized King James Version, you'll notice that there are italicized words in there, and those are words that were not in the original 1611 version, but they do appear in the Authorized Version. Those scholars or group of scholars that updated the King James 1611 version added words for clarity, they thought. Sometimes I think those words, while they may had the best intentions, sometimes they work, and sometimes they're a hindrance, I believe. So anyway, let's jump right in here. I hope you'll be following along with me in your eSword. If you don't have the Bible program eSword, you go to e-sword.net and download the eSword program there, and with that you will get the Authorized King James Version, and of course it will be keyed with the Strong's numbering system, where you can look at the actual original languages and search it out that way to for a better understanding. Basically what you receive with the Authorized King James Version and the eSword edition keyed to the Strong's numbering system is you gain a window into the Textus Receptus, and that is the original language which the text was received in. And you can search things out for a better understanding once you learn how to use this wonderful tool. So do go there. You can find a link on my website, crosstheborder.org, for the e-sword.net website. You can also find it on libertyradiolive.com, firstamendmentradio.com, or you can just Google eSword, and I'm sure that you'll find it. One of the best Bible programs I have ever seen, and before the internet became a thing, and before Bible programs became widely distributed and there became so many of them, I used to pay for programs that weren't this good. And so this is much better than any of the programs I paid for. Plus, this one has all of the features and many more than the ones I used to pay for. So we jump in here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Yahshua, Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and he has in here Sosthenes, our brother. I'm not sure what the reference to Sosthenes is, and I'm not sure that that my good friend Henry gives me a clue, because I was reading a little bit about from Henry here, and he goes off into geography, so I decided to leave off of Henry, and we'll just have to rely on the Holy Spirit, as if that's not better, right? Okay, through the will of God, yes. And verse 2, unto the church, the ecclesia of God, which is at Corinth. And of course, the church, the word church there in the English, it comes from the ecclesia as a demonstration of peering into the original language, into the Textus Receptus. That is the language that we received the Word of God in, and that was, in this instance, is of course the Greek. And we see the word ekklesia there, and we realize that the ekklesia, well, it says a calling out. You know, there's always been a called out people, to our God, to our Creator, from the beginning of time. Of course, he created the first man and the woman, and that was Adam and Eve. And they were not called out until they fell into sin. And then they fell into sin. Of course, then afterwards, they received the gospel message. And you can find, that recorded quite briefly in the book of Genesis. They received the message and they were looking forward. And you see the indications that they were looking forward, especially when Seth was born, and with the exclamation that God has given us a man to take the place of righteous Abel. They were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, so they were called out. And then, of course, we have the preacher who wrote in a book that was called Ecclesiastes in the Greek with the Septuagint. So it was translated into the same name that we use in the Greek for the church, the ekklesia. So you have the book to the of Ecclesiastes to the called out ones in the Old Testament. And of course, like I said, the name came from the Septuagint, which was the Greek translation of the Old Testament going back to about 300 BC. So, unto the church, the ecclesia, the called out of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Yahshua, the Messiah, Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Are you called to be a saint? Let's see who's in the chat room today. We have Tom, Saint Tom, Saint Thomas Fress, and we have Saint A, B, C, D, Saint, well, I don't know your real names. No one's using their real names except Saint Tom there. But are you called to be a saint? I canonize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No. makes me think of that church over there, so-called church. And they are hardly the ecclesia. They are hardly the called out ones to our God. If anything, they are the called out ones to Satan. And of course, they like to canonize their saints, their separated ones. and make statues to them so that men can pray to men and men can pray to idols. But hey, right here, you know, Paul is saying to the people in Corinth, those ones that are called out by God, the ecclesia, the church at Corinth, and he says, you are sanctified unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. And what does the word sanctify mean there? Well, you know, if you're in your eSword, you can mouse over it there. We have the Greek 37 from the Strong's, and it says hagiadzo, to make holy. That is, to purify, to consecrate, to venerate, to hallow, to be holy, to sanctify. And another one, which I don't see there, is to set apart. We're set apart for God. So to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And, of course, the same word there for saints is the hagio, or is a closely related word to the one sanctified, saints, which again really means set apart. But the he has here, and he has an awful thing, something which means full of awe. I mean, if our God, our Creator, sets us apart from the world, isn't that an awe, a thing full of awe for us? It should be an awful thing, he writes in here. A sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, consecrated, holy thing, saint. Again, I would say set apart from the world. So we are saints. We are called. And here's an example of where the authorized King James Version, I went right over it, because sometimes I automatically do that, where they added in italics, it says called to be saints, and puts it off into the future, because to be is a future tense. It's a phrase that indicates a future tense. So if you're called to be a saint, that means someday you'll be a saint. But here I believe that as well-intentioned as they might have been, perhaps they didn't believe that they were actually saints. Perhaps they were more Catholicized in their thinking. The scholars that that updated the 1611 and added these words for clarification. And of course, the word authorized for their version comes from the major denominations, Protestant denominations of that day, which said, okay, we'll use this. We're authorizing this for our congregations to use in our meetings. And that's where the name authorized came from, the King James Version, as opposed to the 1611 original, which was never called the authorized version. So, but they add here to be, and so I would read it without the to be, called saints. We are called saints. It's present tense. It's not future tense. They change the tense, and I believe that's where they stepped over the line, is when they change the tense from present tense, called saints, to called to be saints. So we'll read it without the future tense added. We'll read it as it was written, as it was given to us in the Textus Receptus. To them that are sanctified in Yeshua, Christ Jesus, called saints. Are you called saints? I am Saint Nicholas. I am the true Saint Nicholas, because I am me. And there may be other people out there with the name Nicholas with different spellings that may or may not be saints, but I am the one and only Saint Nicholas sitting here behind this microphone talking to you right now. And I was not canonized by men. I was not canonized by the Vicaris Filii Dei group. I was called by my God and my Creator, the one and only. So called saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, Yahshua, Mashiach, the Messiah. So who's a saint? Called saints with all that in every place call upon the name. So all those that call upon his name, and you know, to call upon his name doesn't just mean to call with your mouth upon his name, but it means that you actually seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. You call on him for everything. He is first in your life. He is your king and he is your God. Then you are set apart for him because you belong to him. Because there are a bunch of people out there, so all you got to do is say the magic words, call upon the name, and you'll be saved, and then you can go back to your ordinary business, you know, of sinning and working for things and your idolatry. But always remember, don't let in, no one can snatch you out of his hand. You know, the once saved, always saved crowd. Well, they forget all about all of the other wonderful things that Paul said, like to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And things that the Messiah said, like he who endures to the end shall be saved. And the Messiah also said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord. And it's not everyone who just simply calls on the name of the Lord, goes through the motions. Not everyone who simply goes through the motions of calling on me. So I'm ad-libbing a little bit, building on it a little bit, trying to get the idea of a cross of what the Messiah was actually saying when he said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And so you can't really get it any plainer than that. It's the same thing as saying, seek first the kingdom of heaven. And his, that is the righteousness, to do what's right in the sight of our God, to live a life that's pleasing to him, and his righteousness. Didn't exclude his righteousness, he said, and his righteousness. If you leave out the his righteousness part, well, you're missing the boat, okay? You got to have his righteousness. You got to start practicing his righteousness. His righteousness is the thing that you want to do. Because you want to please the king, because you love him, because he loved you first and he proved his love to you by becoming a man and taking your place and freeing you from the power of sin and death. So it's fitting that we should want to live our life in a way that's pleasing to him, that we should look into his law and into his word and say, yes, I see your law is holy and just and good. And everything that you want me to do is good for me because you love me. I will do it because I love you. I will live my life in a way that's pleasing to you, Heavenly Father. And this is the mind of Christ. This is the mind that needs to be in us so that we can have his kingdom and his righteousness because they go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. Paul continues here, grace. Now, wait a minute. Don't want to jump ahead of myself. I will just read verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Yahshua, our Messiah, Jesus Christ, here in the Authorized King James Version, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yahushua, our Messiah, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And you know, I was just thinking something here. Paul, the apostle, of course, he persecuted the saints in Jerusalem, and also got a letter, and he was on his way to Damascus to persecute the believers there when he had his Damascus Road experience. And then with the passage of time, of course, he was accepted by the brethren because of his testimony and because of his conversion. And I'll bet you when he went to Corinth and he went to these places to plant the church, I'll bet you he never uttered the words, Jesus Christ. I'll bet you he always said the name Yahushua, the Messiah. I'll bet you he always spoke the proper name. And I'm pretty sure that I could rest assured that he did speak the name properly. Though we have it, if he wrote in Greek, or his scribes wrote in Greek, this is the form that we have it in. And I've discussed this before. Why, you know, why didn't he write it in Hebrew? And I believe that because the 70 weeks that were determined for Israel, national Israel, were over, and of course when those 70 weeks were up, national Israel became equal in status before God Almighty, before the gospel of Yahushua the Messiah. They became equal in status to all of the other unbelieving nations, because the time determined for their special dispensation as God's chosen people was over. That's right. That's what it means. And then the people of God, see, God's chosen people are now only these people here, and we just read about them. It says, and we covered it, right here in verse 2 of the Church of God. And they were at Corinth. They were sanctified. And it says, with all that in every place call upon the name. See, there are the chosen people of God. And of course, this included a large contingent of people that were of national Israel. And these would be the obedient of Israel. And the disobedient of Israel, well, they went on. And in their unbelief and continued to practice Judaism and Talmudic Judaism and their Phariseeism and the religion of Israel, the religion that rejected the Messiah and even put him to death. And that's the disobedient. So the posterity of the disobedient, can we call them the God's chosen people? I think not. And I think it is quite clear in the scripture and prophecy who are the chosen people of God from that time on, even until this day. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border.